I feel like a free man tonight. This is the first time in months that the deacons have let me celebrate by myself. Over the past 6 years, the city, you probably read this, has spent over $101 million on street repairs from the money that you and I voted to give them in 2013 with the 1 cent sales tax. And that figure includes $21 million that was spent just this year, and some of it's still going on. One of the major projects this year, of course, was redoing all of Council Street, where we were all inconvenienced for 6 months, and right during our first Summerfest. But we survived that, and everybody agrees that that street really needed to be resurfaced. With my old car, I ended up replacing the struts twice when I lived here in the last 9 years. And the ice buildup in the wintertime was treacherous, especially last winter. So now the street has new utilities and new pavement and hopefully new drainage. The repairs are welcome indeed. Well, the church doesn't spend a lot of money, like $101 million, but it gives us Advent every year to help us focus our attention on needed repairs in our own lives. This second Sunday of Advent introduces us to the figure of John the Baptist, urging them to reform their lives by turning away from sin, from the temptations to greed and selfishness and unchecked power. He spoke to the rich and the poor alike, to the powerful and the powerless. He wanted them to consider the ways of God and to care for the poor and the needy. But oftentimes his voice went unheard, or at best unheeded. People seemed to be content with the way things were, with the status quo. Fixing their lives involved way too much work for them, required too much change on their part. And while some listened and followed his advice, most ignored them. And so because he was a lone voice, almost like an echo in an empty room, he never stopped preaching and proclaiming. He knew the importance of the coming of the Messiah. John was the bridge between the old and the new. He was a prophet in the long line of Old Testament prophets, like Elijah or Isaiah, who recalled to the people the old covenant that they had with God. But he also pointed forward to something coming, the coming of God's promised Messiah. As I reflect on who the prophets were in my life, those who pointed me to God, I think first of all of my parents. But I also recall the many priests who served in my parish when I was growing up. And I remember in a very special way the many dedicated presentation sisters who taught me when I was going to school. Wonderful women, well-educated and dedicated teachers. Next to my parents, I owe to them my initial formation in the faith and my ultimate vocation as a priest. We were blessed with the ministry of Sister Joellen Price in our parish, one of those presentation sisters, for over 10 years as she served as our social justice minister. Many of you probably have similar fond remembrances of religious sisters in your lives. You can't possibly live in Cedar Rapids and not be affected by the Sisters of Mercy, who have done so much for health care and education. Sisters Susan and Peg join us regularly at this Saturday evening Mass. There were also BVMs at St. Pat's and at St. Jude's, and Notre Dame's from Omaha who taught at St. Woodmilla's. Here at St. Pius, Franciscans from La Crosse staffed our school when it first opened, and they continue their association with us through Prairie Woods Retreat Center just up the road on Boyson. And who can possibly forget Sister Rita, who spent so many years here among us? I think she knew everyone in the parish. And now we have Sister Jean Ann Rausch, who occasionally serves as one of our lectors at this Saturday Mass. And this evening, Sister LaDonna Werdemann, a Milwaukee Franciscan, served as one of our lectors. It wasn't Roger, it was the first lector this evening. But she also serves as a communion minister and one of our homebound ministers to the sick on Sundays. Our connection to religious order priests and brothers is probably much more limited, but our current Pope Francis is a Jesuit, and our two previous archbishops were both Benedictines. This weekend is the national collection for the Retirement Fund for Religious. We are asked to offer prayers and financial support to the over 30,000 sisters, brothers, and priests in religious orders who are over the age of 70. During the early and mid-20th century, the Catholic Church in the United States experienced a surge in vocations to religious life, with numbers peaking in the mid-1960s. It was then that care for elderly members was provided largely by their younger members. Over recent years, however, the number of vocations to religious life has decreased dramatically. And while the younger sisters have declined in numbers, the lifespans of the older ones continues to increase. The result is that there are fewer to provide for the health care and retirement needs of those in their retirement years. As little as 15 years ago, there were about equal numbers of active and retired religious sisters, priests, and brothers. Today, there are only about 20% who are still active, with the rest fully retired. So they ask of us two things this weekend. First, pray for these dedicated women and men in their golden years, as they continue to pray for us. And second, if you are able, please support them financially by using the special envelope that was included in your monthly budget package.